It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And we're come approaching this time and been looking for the Lord to come and speak to us and just bless the people in a special way. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord God, that we have a place that you've given us that we can come and assemble in, dear God. And Father, we can listen to the word, and Father, and we can come knowing that we're going to meet with you, Lord, a place that we've dedicated to that purpose, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity this morning, Lord, to be here. We ask for you to come in this service, Lord, and anoint us, Lord, to bring, Lord God, the message that you've laid on our heart, dear God, and may it be a help to the people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 through 8. I want to continue speaking on considering the end of their conversation. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You may be seated. In Identified Christ of All Ages, we've read this quote now a few times. Brother Branham says, the scripture here is saying, remember them who have the rule over you, considering their conversations. You see, at the end of their conversation is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, every man's ministry, any man that's truly called of God, his ministry should be about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. At the end, it should always be pointing to Jesus. It should never be pointing to themselves. It should never be lifting themselves up, but it should always be lifting up Jesus. It should always, and their ministry should be proving that Jesus Christ is alive, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in Brother Branham's ministry, that's what it always did. And I keep thinking about us having a younger generation coming up that, you know, they haven't heard the things you heard when you started out. And so they don't know what you know. They don't have that foundation. Without that foundation, then someone could begin to question or ask them, what do you believe and all about this? And before you know it, they can shake their confidence if they don't have a Holy Ghost foundation. And it's not just in knowledge, but they have to be born again. And but, you know, if someone was to ask you, you know, well, why do you not wear pants? What are you going to say? Because mom, dad said not to? Because our church teaches? Or can you take them to the scripture and show them? If they ask you, why do you believe God sent a prophet this last day? Can you tell them why? Or is it just what our church says? If it's just what your church says, then you don't have a revelation of it. Everyone needs, the young people need to have their own personal revelation that God did in fact send a prophet in this last day and the day that we're living in. I've read something to you, this particular quote, But I just wanted to read it again because I want to go to another one that I referred to at one time but didn't actually read to you. But he said, just think, friends, that in this ministry that I've had from the Lord alone, I've seen many, many, many times more miracles performed than is written in the Bible that Jesus has done in those 3 years in one unit, one group of his ministry. One group, he's done more miracles than what's been written in the Bible. Everything that could be written in the Bible except leprosy that I know of has been healed. Even to three specific cases of people who were pronounced dead and living today, tonight, healthy and strong. Who did that? Jesus Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he never pointed at himself doing it. And then in the message of the token, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, he brings this out and really emphasizes this. He said he had had more success in Jeffersonville than he did in Nazareth. He could perform no miracles there, but he did here. He'd done more miracles right here in this tabernacle than he did in his entire ministry on the earth. That's right, he did it. Now, that's what he done. Remember, he done. It never said I done it, see, because I didn't do it. I just didn't. I just loved him and just submitted myself to him and said what he said. And the Holy Spirit went to the other people and they believed what he said, and then he done the work. That's all. And if he could get all of us believing it, what would he do right now if he could get all of us believing it right now, right? There wouldn't be a feeble person around the town. That's right. If he could get everybody to believe it, it would be all over. You realize that in this last day, there's been more miracles performed than was wrote in the whole book of Acts. Ministry that God gave Brother Branham, miracle after miracle. But not just miracles, but an actual sign of the word being a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He's, you know, Brother Branham continuously referred to Jesus saying, greater than this shall you do. Greater than these works shall you do. For I go unto my Father. And Brother Branham said, he's here doing greater than what he done. It's the same Jesus, same miracles, same things. He's working in the same way, doing the greater work in his church. Brother Branham said, it's not just me, but it's in you. Now, let me give you an example. If I was to say I was looking for Brother Phil, or someone was looking for him, and I told them, well, he's about medium stature, he's bald, he's slender built, physically fit, and just give him a description of him, you know, and say he's kind of a quiet type person and that. And somebody would go out and they would find a bald man that was kind of quiet, slender built, and, you know, medium stature and that. And they would say, hello, Brother Phil, but that wasn't Brother Phil. They just found somebody that looked similar or fit the had a similarity to the description. And that's not what we need today. We don't need a similarity to the description of Jesus. We need Jesus Christ himself. And that's what we need to introduce our young people to. It's not to a similitude of Jesus, but we need to introduce them to Jesus today. When we can find Jesus in the New Testament, see what he was in the New Testament, then we'll see what he should be today. He said that he would have the same type of ministry today as he did when he walked here. That was the promise to us. Same Jesus, same yesterday, today, and forever. Brother Branham says, if he was just here on earth and performed miracles, then he was just a prophet. But when he died, if that was the end of it, then he was just a prophet. But if he raised from the dead and was more than a prophet, then he's more than a prophet, he's a son of God. You've got to believe that just the same as he's here tonight, just like he was on Galilee. When you see that and see his word made so plain that it's right here before you, that brings faith up. Then it's not a man that healed you. It's not my prayer that healed you. It's not their prayer that healed you. It's your own faith that heals you. When the woman that touched the hem of Jesus' garment, friends, it wasn't Jesus that healed her. It was her faith. If I can but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And she touched his garment and faded right back out into the crowd. And then he said, who touched me? Because he said, virtue or strength has went from me. That was that woman using the gift. That wasn't Jesus using the gift. That wasn't God using the gift. That was that woman using the gift. She, her faith reached out and said, if I can do this, I'll be healed. And she believed with all of her heart, so much so that when she did it, she was healed. And if we can have that faith today to say, if I can just reach out and touch him. And friends, you know, we can touch him today. We don't have to physically touch him the way she touched his garment then. We can touch him by faith. And it's your faith when you come up here to be prayed for. It's not my faith that heals you. It's not my ministry that heals you. It's based on your faith. If someone come and say, well, I come and got prayed for and I didn't get healed, where was your faith? You have to believe. God placed a gift in Brother Branham, but how many times was it that someone else used that gift? That gift wasn't there for Brother Branham to use. It was there for God to use. Brother Branham said, all these things that's done here on the platform, really, see, yet it, your faith, it's your faith reaching to God and pulling from him the things you desire. But then look, when God wanted to use the gift in Jesus, he said, they're going to call for you. Lazarus is dying. Don't go. You say, how can you say this? He said he'd done nothing except he saw the Father do it first. So somehow by vision, Jesus saw what was going to take place. Don't go down there. Wait 4 days. Because he's going to die and then I'm going to raise him from the dead. And that was God then using the gift. Jesus couldn't go down and say, well, Mary, you got to be doing this, and Martha, you got to be doing this, and this. He has had to let it go the way the vision had showed. That's the way it was with Brother Branham. Now, I'm going to do something a little different here today because I had first thought I was going to read these things, but then the more I got to looking at it and thinking on it, I wanted you to hear the voice. And so I'm going to play some things Brother Branham said when he was praying for the sick and when he was telling people what was wrong with them and calling them out.
How do you do, lady? Oh, how wonderful. in God. Believe him with all your heart.
Can you hear it?
Do you believe me to be his prophet? Do you believe he's sure to make you well? I believe that, lady. The spirit of liberation, as you'd call it, coming from you seems to be poor and truly. Now there's you're not from here. No, you're not from this country either. You come from away from here. You've come a long way. You come from the extreme east to a country that has mountains, lots of pine trees and lakes. I'm going to say New York. And you're here for a boy, a son, which has a bad habit of drinking, alcoholic, no cure, no control. Nothing you can do to help it. God bless you, woman. Come here. God, who gave this woman the fruit of her womb, the poor boy laying there, Lord, I pray for mercy. And when she goes back, may the power of Almighty God, who can look down upon this earth at this time, looking here, I pray that the angel of God who heard that prayer meeting in John Mark's house will hear the prayer meeting here tonight and will go into that where that boy is at this time and take that demon off of him, and may he get well. Grant it, Lord. I cursed be that devil. In the name of Jesus Christ, may it leave him. God bless you, sister. All that things that you had to has left your body. I believe your boy is going to not only become a gentleman, but a Christian. God bless you. Let us say praise the Lord. Let's say it again real loud. Praise the Lord. Let's say it once more.
Praise the Lord.
And all that is within me, praise the holy name. Amen. You believe, lady? You believe with all your heart? You believe I ask God right now, whatever God we ask God, God will do it. You believe it? How many believe that right now? Stand on the platform while we ask it. All right, come here. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless her and her boy and make them well, and may they leave this platform happy, healthy, and rejoicing. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask it. Amen. God bless you, sister. All right, come. As you come, believe with all your heart. You believe God's going to do it before you get here? Let's all say, praise the Lord. Believe God's going to make you well? I want you to do it upon basis of faith. You see what I mean? All right, sister, you accept your healing? Believe it all. If I don't say one thing to you, yet you believe you're healed. Is that right? God bless you. That's the way to go. Amen. That's the way to do it. God bless you. Lord, sister. That's the way. All right. Come. Praying. I don't know just what's happened, but just a moment. Let's just keep in prayer. Everybody in your heart, just keep praying. Just believing that God will. Don't you believe he will? You believe God heals you that colon trouble, sister? You believe God will make you what you do? You accept it? All right, he has. God bless you. There you are. Make you well. God bless you. Just have faith. See a man sitting there, the bronchial condition. Is that right, sir? Bronicle. You believe he'll heal you now? You want to accept him as your healer? Stand up to your feet. God bless you. Go and be healed. That's the way to do it. Just keep praying, keep living. You raise up your book there next to her lady or second lady from her. I've seen a book, somebody. That's one of the pictures, isn't it? Stand up to your feet just a minute. You have sinus trouble, don't you? You want to be healed of it? Raise up your hand and say, I accept God as my healer. God bless you. Go home and be well. That's the way. Amen. You want to go home and eat your supper? Get over that old stomach trouble? Some old ulcers bothered you a long time. Go eat your supper in the name of the Lord Jesus and be made well. Let's say praise the Lord. What do you think, young man, sitting there with a little blue jacket on? Been having headaches for a long time, haven't you? You want to get over it? Isn't that your daddy sitting next to you there? He has heart drops, he does, and hardening of the arteries. Lay your hand over on him, too. God bless you. Oh, Lord Jesus, make them both well. May they go home, be made perfectly whole. In Jesus Christ's name, I rebuke the devil. Hallelujah.
All right. You believe? I see you. You're having you keep setting up in a bed. You keep setting, if you can't sleep, you're nervous. Isn't that right? Nervous condition. You just can't sleep at night. And it's you're not from here. I see you coming through some kind of a place where they're checking up on you or something. It's the immigration. You're from Canada. Windsor, Ontario. Is that right? And you are an evangelist, a minister. Is that right? And your initial is J.W. and your name is Christ. Reed. J.W. Reed. I see on that box sign there. Oh, you see, take up your hands. Well, you're going home to be well now. Come here. Loving Heavenly Father, the enemy that has brought this condemnation upon the man, I ask that it leaves him. So Satan, turn him loose. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you, brother. Go back now, wherever you come from, rejoicing and be made well, because God is with you now, and he's going to make you well. Let's say thanks be to God. Do you believe me to be his servant?
Yes, sir.
You must believe now, sister, because you realize your condition. You got cancer. And you're not going to live long unless God touches you. Isn't that right? Come here, my sister. Kind Heavenly Father, let thy mercies be shown unto the woman. May she go from here tonight normally and well. I condemn this enemy. With this church and these believing people, in the name of Jesus Christ, may it leave her. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go happy now, rejoicing, thanking God. Just believe it's gone from you now, but when it goes out, it'll come back again. If you just say thank you, Lord, just keep on rejoicing. It can't come back when you see you're giving God praise. All right. Come, sir. I would tell you something. You sat right down there a while ago, and when I was speaking, you were believing what I was saying. Is that right? Well, your heart trouble left you while you were sitting down there. Now you can go on back there. You believe, sir, with all your heart? We're strangers to one another, but Jesus Christ knows us both. Now I see you moving away from me? Yes. You have stomach trouble. It's an alterated stomach. It's caused from a peptic condition, from a nervous. It's caused nerves to run to prostate, caused to getting up at night and things like that. Isn't that true? You believe it is God's prophet? Go out and eat yourself a hamburger and go home and forget it. You'll be well. God, make me well. You believe? With all your heart, lady, if I could heal you, I'd do it. I can. But if I be God's servant, your life can't be his. Isn't that right? You realize you're in the presence of something besides your brother. Is that right? It's his presence. had a hard time having you, lady. Life hasn't been a flower bed of ease for years. Been all your life kind of a nervous sex condition. Especially when you was a school child, you had a lot of trouble with it. That's true. Oral plastic. But now you're suffering now with a stomach trouble. That's what it was. Isn't that right? Is it all female condition? All right. Come here, man. Almighty God, may thy blessings come up on the woman. May she go home and be well. In Jesus Christ's name, I condemn the enemy. Amen. God bless you, sister. Go believing now with all your heart and rejoicing, thanking God for your healing. All right. Come, lady. You believe with all your heart. The most dreaded disease of the world, a heart trouble. The nervous heart. You usually have your trouble in which when you lay down smothering. What does that when you eat, the gas runs up to your heart. What does is it's a nervous heart. It isn't one of them kinds. But you're going to get all right. I see eternal light around you. So God bless you, sister. I bless my sister, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. May she live. God bless you, sister. Go believing with all your heart now. You had heart trouble too. Something struck you when you got to us when you came over. Get in trouble about it. You believe you thought he was just sitting there? Squawk the platform and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, let's say praise the Lord. You believe? That our Lord Jesus does here, he can do out there. All things are possible to them that believe. You believe it? Leave it apart now. Right now, the Holy Spirit can heal every person in here. Make every one of you sound him well. All right. Come, lady. You believe with all your heart?
Yes.
If God will let me know what your trouble is, just like he said to the woman at the well, go get your husband. That was her trouble. If you tell me the vision, think it's too weak, you see. You believe?
Yes.
That kidney trouble.
Yes.
Your back, is that right? Yes. You did have. You have it now. Go home. Your faith is saved. In Jesus Christ's name. All right, Elijah, it ain't far as you a long time, hasn't it, lady? You believe you're going to get well now?
Yes.
May you receive it, sister. Go and believe it with all your heart in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
How do you do, Sister Fish? All right, I suppose we're strangers, sir, to each other. I don't know you, never seen you in my life. We're total strangers then, is that right? Don't know one another. But one thing, sir, God knows both of us, and we're going to have to give an account at the day of judgment for our lives. You believe that? Come here just a little closer. I want you to look at me just a moment. Like I'm preaching tonight, as Elisha said, if it wasn't for the presence of Jehoshaphat, I wouldn't look toward you or see it, not laid into the prophet. He couldn't know what God was going to do, but he could only look and see what God was going to do and then pronounce it. Is that right? Well, what was that on that man, that prophet? He died like an ordinary man. He lived like an ordinary man, a Christian man. But there was something different about him. Is that right? He was a prophet. He was anointed of the Spirit. And that Spirit was of God. Is that right? That Spirit did not die. It still lives. Elijah died, but the Spirit still lives. Is that right? You believe that you're standing in his presence now? God bless you. Then I can help you. You're not from here. You're a stranger here. You're from a city that starts with like F.R.A. Franklin, or Franklin, Ohio, is where you're from. Is that right? Sir. You were kind of shook for a moment. I just wanted to see that. You're suffering with some sort of a rectal or a fistula, as the doctor says, fistula troubles. A growth on the rectum. Got a wife. Yes, she's with diabetes. When you go lay hands on her, she'll get well too. God Almighty, who rose up Jesus Christ, bless to people and bring these things to pass in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. As you believe, so will it be. All right. Do you believe? I couldn't do nothing but pray for you. Your trouble is your eye and this tumor on your eye. You believe God will make you well? Come here. Christ Jesus, Son of God, I ask blessings for this woman and ask that she go in peace and may the spirit that's in those growths, may it leave tonight. And may the woman be well. May they shrink away. For I now ask God's blessing for this purpose in Jesus Christ's name, His Son. Amen. All right. You were healed while you were studying. Something come over you. Is that right? You were healed then. Just be on your road rejoicing.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Come, lady. You believe me to be God's servant? And if I be God's servant, I'll be able to help you. If you believe, or it's just your attitude of approach will determine what you get. Some of them, when he would tell the people in the audience what was wrong with them or so forth, they believed him. The woman had touched him. But the one that put a rag around his head and hit him with a stick and said, now tell me who hit you if you know all things. They didn't feel nothing. They didn't approach it right. Just the way you approach it. Is that right? I can tell you now, it's not for you. It's for the child. For I see the child standing here in front of me. And the child is serious enough sick till it's been to a doctor. Yes. Not only that, but the child is up for surgery now. And I see the doctor looking in his nose. It's his nose condition. Got a little thing in his nose looking. And now it's the breath that's shut off in one side of its nose. It can't breathe out of one side of its nose. Are those things true, lady? You heard what was said. Now that wasn't me. That was him. Now do you believe for the child? Bring it to me. Dear Heavenly Father, thou hold this darling little baby here, knowing that surgery lays before the little thing. I pray for your mercy to protect the child. Grant it, Lord. I lay my hands upon it now. You, when you were here, you laid your hands upon the children and blessed them. And I do likewise tonight. May your spirit, Lord Jesus, come to the body of your servant as a transmitter into this child and condemn this darkness that hangs over the child, and may it fade away, and may the bright sunlight of God come upon the child and be made whole. I condemn this disease in Jesus Christ's name. Now, I breathe out. Breathe. The child could not breathe outside of snow. Now breathe, honey. Now, shut the breathe over here. Breathing all right? It's okay? Feels good? Jesus,
they praise the Lord! Praise the Lord!
Glory to God. God bless you, sister. Your faith has stayed the
Hallelujah. Never was another ministry like that. And how did someone could hear these things and then turn around and walk away from it? I don't know. To see God do what he did through that ministry. And you know, he's still the same today. He may not be telling you the secrets of your heart through some man, calling you out, telling you what your name is, but he's still the same God that heals you. Those things that he'd done through Brother Branham's ministry, it was for a purpose. It was to get the attention of the people so that they could see it was Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So they could see it was the same Jesus on the scene again. So they could see his word working so that they would, so there would be a people that would actually catch the coming of the word in this last day. That would not just be about miracles and signs. That wasn't what it was all about. But that it was about that he was introducing Jesus Christ to this generation, forerunning the second coming of the Lord, as we're looking for now. It was to catch the attention of the people so that when the word was open, when the third pool came and opened those seals, opened the word to the people, that we're not, you know, as that song says, he didn't have to open our eyes, but he did. And I'm so glad that he opened our eyes in this last day. You look at so many that are religious today, but in their religious forms, they're blind. They may know that they're coming at the end time, but they don't even know Jesus. There's so many that's blind. They have no understanding of the scriptures. I thought today, without this revealed word that's come in this last day, what would we have to preach? I know there's times that we teach on different things here, trying to be a help along the way and things like that. But when it comes down to it, there's the teaching of the word. We're looking for Christ to come again. But we believe that he's come and opened up his word to the people. And you know, we're not blind to wondering about the Godhead. We're not thinking there's three gods. We understand and believe and have a revelation of predestination. We've got a revelation of where we came from. We've got a revelation of where we're going to. We got a revelation of heaven. We've got a revelation of the marriage supper of the Lamb. We know what's going to take place. We know there's going to be 3.5 years of tribulation here on the earth while the bride's in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We got a revelation that we're coming back. And they were going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years. For 1,000,000 years. Forever. Eternity. Man has never lived one day. But we're going to live one day, an entire day, 1,000 years. And the devil's going to be bound because we're going to be free from the shackles of this flesh. We're going to be free from the shackles of this humanity. These doors of clay are going to burst wide open one of these days. And we're going to take our flight. We're going to be changed. And we got a revelation of that. We've got a revelation of what happens when our loved ones die. Where do they go? Friends, you might take some of those things for granted, but I know people that I've talked to from other beliefs and other denominations and things, they don't have a revelation of it. They don't know where they go when they die from here. They just know, well, we go to heaven, but will we know one another? Will I still know my mom and dad? Will I still know my husband? Will I still know my wife? They don't have a revelation of these things. But God sent in this last day, and he took his prophet beyond the curtain of time so that you could get a glimpse of it. We're not wandering around blind in the darkness. God sent a prophet in this last days. Not just a great religious man. Not just somebody who could preach real fine. Friends, I've heard preachers that could captivate you while they were preaching, but their end of their conversation wasn't Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I knew a preacher when I was about 15 years old. I'll tell you what, he had an effect on my life at the age of 15. I had never seen nobody like him before. You know, I didn't personally witness Brother Branham's ministry. But in real life, I'd never seen anybody like this. I saw him perform miracles. I saw people healed. I saw, you know, and his ministry. When he would preach, he would just take a hold of you and just captivate you. As a 15-year-old boy, just kept my attention. Later found out he was getting drunk in his basement. Later found out him and his wife got separated, because she didn't want to live with it any longer, the lies and so on. And he ended up strung out on cocaine. Brother Branham many times talks about how he wasn't a great speaker. But I'll tell you what, I've never heard no one like him. It isn't in the eloquent speech. It isn't in the catchy titles. There's a voice behind it. And that's what we need to be hearing today, the voice behind the voice. A preacher, just as Brother Branham taught, he's just supposed to be a mouthpiece that God comes and speaks through. Brother Branham never claimed these things to be himself. He always said, it's what he done. What did he tell you? Do what he said. As I've read to you here this morning, he even said, I'm not the one that did this. He is. It's he done it. So I say this, when people go and they turn away from this message, they're turning away from Jesus Christ. Because it isn't Brother Branham we're pointing to. It's Jesus Christ that we're pointing to. Amen. Never a man spake like this man. What other ministry got up and told people, you're not from here, you're from another country, you're from Canada, you're from Windsor? Your name is J.W. Reed. I see it on your mailbox. Where he said, I see a doctor looking at this child. And the doctor's looking up his nose. And there's something up in his nose that's causing him not to be able to breathe out of that side of his nose. How could he see that? Had to be a vision God was showing him. And then pray for the child. And then tell him, now tell her, close your mouth and breathe out of your nose. Now breathe out of this side over here. Now you can breathe. I'll tell you one that always just gets me. Is when he said he could never have a cross-eyed child stand before him. Because he had saw his baby died going cross-eyed. Every time a cross-eyed child come before him, God straightened their eyes out. And then another one, a little child that didn't have no eyes. And Brother Branham prayed for her to get eyes. And then he said, wait a minute. I forgot to ask you what color you wanted. I don't see how people can hear these things. This wasn't somebody in a back room doing this all by themselves. This was done before millions of people. How somebody could see these things, hear these things, and then not believe, walk away. But if God hasn't opened their eyes, and friends, you know, look, it shows you the time we're living in, because what it said that at the end time, everything that could be shaken would be shook. And there's people whose faith is being shaken because they misplaced their faith. I'll tell you this. Somebody turn their back and walk away from this message, I don't care how many miracles they performed. I don't care what they said happened in their ministry. If they walk away from this, they were never born again. Because if you're born again, there's something about this that speaks to you, that it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. He's wonderful, isn't he? Think of what he's given us in this last day. How much time has passed? And there was many that saw. The Bible says, blessed is he who have not seen yet believes. And I just felt so impressed that we needed to proclaim this to our next generation. Why do we believe that he was a prophet that God sent? Why do we believe the things that we believe? It's because God come down and used a little humble preacher. And didn't just do all these great things and miracles and things, but actually brought us the revealed truth of the word. That we're not stumbling around. That we understand serpent seed. We understand it wasn't an apple or a piece of fruit in the garden. Brother Branham said that's just what Adam and Eve told their boys. But Abel got a revelation. it wasn't fruit. And it wasn't fruit and beauty and all this labor of your hands that was going to get you back in. It wasn't based on your works, but on faith. And Abel got a revelation, it's going to take someone innocent to be sacrificed in order for us to get back to the tree of life. Symbology of something innocent, a lamb. I don't know how many of y'all ever been around farms and all those things. Maybe perhaps Brother Phil has, being from Indiana. But you're around all these different animals and things. There's just something about little lambs. They're different. You know, little goats or baby goats, they're cute, but there's still something different between them and a lamb. The innocence of a lamb. I always like to catch them and hold on to them. No other animal felt like them. They're just so innocent. And that Abel would catch this revelation and not just take just any animal to slay it, to make a sacrifice, but to take a lamb. There was no written Bible then. There was no written scriptures. Now we can read about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world and all that. But there wasn't none of that to read about when Abel got the revelation. Abel got a revelation from God. It's a lamb. The type of the one to come that's going to get us back, the type is a lamb. It's a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're not believing on a church. We're not believing in a handshake. Having our names on a membership book. I've got my name on the book of life. I got my name on the Lamb's book of life. My mom and dad, you know, their names had been on the book of the Church of God. And they had a meeting. And they had been gone from the Church of God for quite some number of years. But their names still remained as members on the book. And so they had a meeting. They finally decided they needed to remove their names, because they had never come back. My grandfather, who was still part of the Church of God, he stood up and he said, I got something to say. He was critical too at the first. He said, but I've watched their lives and they ain't got further from God. They've got closer to God. He says, and I'm going to tell you something. You might strike their names off this book here today. He said, but their names is on a book that you can't strike off. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. My grandfather, this is my mother's dad. He told my dad at one time, Dad was trying to share with him these things, and he told him to leave. We were visiting down in West Virginia. He said, he told him to leave and take that stuff with him. Some years passed, and he and my grandmother came up to visit us. We lived in a little town called St. Mary's, Ohio. They come, just the two of them come to visit us. We went to church on Sunday morning. They went to church with us. That was different. Because usually when they would come, they would leave. Make sure they made it back home for Sunday morning. But they stayed to go to church with us. And they went to church with us Sunday morning. And then Sunday evening, my grandfather said that he and my grandmother were real tired, that they would just stay home while we went to church Sunday evening. My dad went to planting books throughout the house. My grandfather got a hold of a book, He Cares to You. And he read that book through while we were at church. And when we got home, he had the book sitting in his lap and tears rolling down his eyes, out of his eyes. He said, you know, if God sent us a prophet, then we need to know what he had to say. And so my dad gave him books, gave him a church age book, gave him a seals book, gave him different books. And he took them home with him. He didn't live too much longer after that. He passed away of a heart attack. But before he had passed away, he had told my mom, if something ever happens to me, I want to tell you where my Bible's at, where I keep it. So, Mom, when we got there after he had passed, she went and found some time by herself and went into the room where he kept it, the place, and she found the books that they'd give him. And she began to leaf through them. And she found where he had underlined things, said, this I believe. Amen to this. God had opened his eyes. He had begun to see the wrongs of the church of God. Begin to see where they were going off, where they were letting sin creep in. He believed on it from reading a book, from reading some books. What excuse will people have that have sat under the voice of many waters, that have sat under the ministry and have heard it preached, and have heard, not just heard the tapes, but they've saw the films. And they've heard the end time truth that was delivered to us by the prophet. They've heard it preached. How are they going to answer? I am so thankful that I have what I have. I'm so thankful for all that the Lord has given me spiritually. I'm so thankful, not just for my revelation, but as God has revealed himself to my family. Aren't you? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just feel so overwhelmed this morning. I just feel your presence just so resting, so heavy, Lord. And I'm so thankful for everything, Lord. Lord, when I've talked to different ones, and some people, my loved ones, and I see, Lord, just how blind they still are. I don't mean it derogatory, but Lord, things that they don't understand, things they don't know, they can't see. They ask me questions. I try to answer them best I can answer them. Lord, without that supernatural element, it's just words to them. Oh God, I thank you. Lord, we've heard the different things on this morning as you had me play different diseases that people had. Some were very great diseases. Some weren't so great. From people that had cancer, people that had heart trouble, and the people that had sinus, arthritis, diabetes. Lord, you healed them. Ulcers of the stomach. Prostate problems. Lord, healed that little child where it could breathe out of both sides of its nose. Tumors off their eyes. Oh, Lord. Thank you for opening our understanding to these things, our eyes to these things, Lord, that our spiritual eyes are not blind as it is in this last Laodicean age. I ask your blessings on your people today, dear God. I ask for you to touch them. I ask for you to heal them, dear God. I ask for you to be the same yesterday, today, and forever in this group, Lord. We never give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.